Okay, the music should be playing on Eurofolk Radio. And people should be hearing my voice now, since I just came in.
All right.
Anybody responding in a positive
manner? Yeah, Captain Witness said sound of silence. Okay, now I hear music. Okay. Eli.
And what about
music
Steve?
Now? Hear Eli. No music, just some noise. That's Adolf Richter. And Steve. Brother Hebert said okay. Steve.
All right, fantastic.
Hi there.
Okay. It's getting to the point where we use this program called Broadcast Yourself to the World. And I installed a new webcam earlier today, and the broadcaster switched my settings to the webcam microphone without telling me. All right. Without me, I'm supposed to be able to instruct this broadcaster which audio signal to pick up, and it just changed automatically. This is crazy. I shouldn't be doing that, but a good thing I noticed that. Okay. So I have to check this broadcaster program every time I go on the air. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But anyway, thanks for tuning in, folks. Today is June 1st, 2018. And we are broadcasting, and what we're going to do is do this article by John Hinton, PhD of Harvard, and the title of the article is Ridiculous KJV Bible Corrections, Joshua and the Flood Verse, and what this Harvard professor is doing is he's taking Christian identity to task for our interpretation of the flood being local, not global, okay? And he does seem to make a couple of good points, and I'll ask Pastor Steve to chime in here. But first, I'll quote the verse in question, which is Joshua 24:2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Okay.
All right. Here is the proper thing from the scriptures.
Okay.
By the Institute for Scripture Research, they've corrected this. And Yahshua said to all the people, this said Yahweh Elohim of Israel, long ago your fathers dwelt beyond the river.
Okay.
Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other mighty ones. Now, if you remember, Terah was an idol worshiper, and Abraham took his idols.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And busted them up.
Right.
And Terah came in. And there were pieces of idols laying all over. And he asked Abraham,
What happened?
He says, well, that big idol took a hatchet and chopped up all these other idols and then self-destructed. And Terah got really angry.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
See, and this guy...
It was Abraham's father.
Ridiculous KJV Bible corrections. Okay, well, mm-hmm. The KJV is ridiculous. It's stupid. It's mistranslated.
Well, here, I'm looking at Nahar, which is translated flood, on the other side of the flood. Let me read it from the King James Version. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith Yahweh, God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So, flood comes from the word Nahar, a stream, parenthesis, including the sea. So, the word stream could actually refer to the sea, but especially the Nile, Euphrates, etc., figuratively, prosperity, flood, river. Okay, so... This is one of those words that has figurative meanings and literal meanings.
Multiple meanings.
Right.
And they mistranslated that.
Okay. Yes.
And they have corrected. That's why I like the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. Mm-hmm. They have corrected all this mm-hmm. mess that the KJV translated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So let's go on with his commentary. Another of the sillier criticisms that I've seen of the KJV concerns Joshua 24:2. So apparently this starts out like he's a KJV-only guy. All right. Yeah. It escapes my memory which alleged Bible-believing archaeologist came up with this piece of nonsense, but I've seen it stated that the KJV got it wrong here by translating flood instead of river. Okay, and that's essentially what you're saying. Okay, now this if I understand you correctly, that they should have translated
well,
as river.
Well, in my translation of Yahshua, mm-hmm. it says, thus says Yahweh Elohim of Israel, your forefathers dwelt on the other side of the river, 5104. Okay.
All right. So now this is a common mistake made by the New Agers in the so-called Christian identity movement. Now, wait a minute.
Well,
we're not New Agers.
What is this guy talking about?
Right, yeah. So
we're the ones that are fixing all these Bible translations and doing word study shows.
Yeah.
And this is the most mainstream CI station right here.
Right, yeah.
What is this idiot talking about?
Right. If anything, we're anti-New Age, right? We don't believe in the New Age baloney.
Most of whom are a little slow on the uptake. Oh, come on.
Oh, wow. But he's from Harvard, don't you know? But it is a surprising one coming from a supposedly educated archaeologist, which he doesn't name, unfortunately. Of course, most people know that flood does mean river in this context. Well, I wouldn't agree that most people know that. I think a lot of people would take the translation at face value and assume it does mean a flood. All right? Because that's what the word is.
Wait a minute. Let me look up the New Revised Standard Version.
Mm-hmm. While you're doing that, let me just finish his sentence here. Most people know that flood does mean river in context, and I'd say that's an incorrect statement. I would say most people do not know that and don't need a dictionary to define it. But here it is for those who do require a definition. The Oxford Dictionary.
Okay. And his sons, Abraham and Enoch, lived beyond the Euphrates.
Okay.
They put Euphrates in the New Revised Standard Version.
Okay. All right, but that's not the KJV. All right.
No, it's not.
Okay. The KJV says flood. That's what it says, okay? And the Oxford Dictionary has it defined thus, a body of flowing water, a river stream, usually a large river. Its meaning goes back to the old English word flood, that's F-L-O-D, meant flood, F-L-O-O-D, wave, current, stream, or river. But we found out from Strong's it could actually mean a current within the sea. And that, yes. And Yahweh talks about those kind of currents, I think, in the book of Job and elsewhere as well. Okay, now, as obvious as this seems, it is amazing how many times that I have had to argue this verse. Identity preachers use this verse to suggest that the flood was local and that there were survivors of the flood other than Noah and his family, even though the verse only refers to the Euphrates River. Well, that may be the case. But that is no proof.
They were not living anywhere near the Euphrates River, Noah. Okay. Where is this guy coming from?
All right. He's coming from Judeo-Christianity.
They were in the Tarim Basin. Okay. They weren't near the Euphrates.
Okay, yeah. So, but he's, you know, you have to understand these are the standard assumptions of a Judeo-Christian, okay? But he's trying to take Christian identity to task.
Out of context.
Okay, all right. Okay, the word, by the way, is Nahar, which does mean river in Hebrew as well as in Arabic. Okay, so fine. All right, so let's grant that. But most people who read the King James Version, they see the word flood, they assume it means flood, not river. Okay, I think you know, I think he's missing that. That's what I thought it meant. I took the word literally when I first read that. Okay. The word for a deluge-type flood is Mabul, M-A-B-B-U-L. Okay, is that correct? The deluge-type flood. And there is absolutely no interchangeability between the two. Okay, I will grant that. Okay.
I'm reading from Strong's 5104, Nahar.
Okay.
From 51, this is really small print.
Okay.
5102 to sparkle, be cheerful. Okay. From the sheen of a running stream to flow.
All right.
All right. A 5104, a stream, including the sea, it sparkles, especially the Nile, Euphrates, etc.
Yeah.
Figuratively, it can mean prosperity because it's sparkling.
Okay.
Flood, river, that's how it's used.
Okay.
It's used as flood and river, but it doesn't mean flood.
Okay. So it basically
that's
means
only
river.
The usage, which is incorrect.
Okay. And what about
people don't know how to read their Strong's either, including this guy.
What about the word Mabul, M-A-B-B-U-L? Are you familiar with that word?
I'd have to have a number on it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he doesn't give a number.
I can't remember every Hebrew word. I can't.
Sure. Anyway, he says the word for a real flood, the kind of Noah's type flood, is Mabul. Maybe we'll run across it elsewhere. And he says there's no absolutely no interchangeability between the two. Okay. That may be true, but that doesn't prove anything about whether the flood was global or local. Right? Okay.
Well, and what does it have to do with Christian identity?
Well, he says in the next sentence, I find this a little amusing since identity preachers frequently abuse Strong's concordance in order to force absurd meanings into the Bible. I'd say it's the exact opposite. We clarify the meanings of words, not force absurd meanings onto the Bible. Okay? And, now here's one of his examples. An example is the way they abuse one of the meanings of the verb Adam, which means
to
be...
It's not a verb!
I know it's not a verb. He says it's a verb.
It's not a verb!
It's a proper name for the Adam. And it also means
that's
to show...
That's capital A, the Adam, and that would be Ha-Adam.
Right, right. And
with
Adam...
the Hebrew article. It has to have that Hebrew article to mean capital A, right. Adam, proper name. Adam is only a description.
Right.
And it is not a verb. It is not an action.
It's a noun.
That's what a verb is. It's
that's
an
right.
action.
Yeah, it's a noun. And it means to show blood in the face.
That's what it means.
It means those who show blood in the face. Now he says, continue. He wants it to be a verb because he doesn't quote Strong's Concordance.
No, he
doesn't. Which defines it as to show blood in the face, right? And so, but he's saying that the word Adam is a verb, not a noun, okay? Or by extension, to blush. When they suggest that blacks are not human because they
well,
do
they
not...
they are human. They are huge
right.
men.
That's right. Right. Yeah, he doesn't understand our theology at all.
We are not human.
Right. We are Adam.
I am not a human. I'm not huge. I'm Caucasian.
Yes. Okay, when they suggest that blacks are not what he considers to be human... because they do not get red in the face as Adam would have. Well, he's admitting that Adam would have done so, right? So where did blacks lose that ability? How did they morph? If they were begotten from Adam and Eve, which he obviously believes is what happened, why is it that for 6,000 years there were no blacks among the white race and they were all down in Africa? What caused the separation? If there ever was a separation, which is assuming that they were together.
In the Hebrew, they are called beasts of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
They're not called ish. They're called beasts of the
earth. And that's not red earth. Beasts of the earth is what? Eretz.
That's behemah.
Okay.
Two or four-legged animal critters.
Right. Yeah.
beasts of the land, Eretz.
Yeah, and he doesn't make that
like
distinction.
Like dogs and cats and horses and cows and Negroes. Yeah.
Animals, right, animals.
Right, and okay. you look at their behavior today, when they revert to type,
right,
they are animals.
Yes. Now, he puts the expression, they do not get red in the face, in quotations. But he admits that Adam would have showed blood in the face, in other words, blushed. So he's granting that we have the correct definition of it, but he does not want to quote Strong's definition because that's exactly what it says. All right? Okay. Now, wait a minute. Okay, they stay clear of Strong's when it comes to the Joshua verse. No, I'd say, you know, they just haven't studied it. Okay? So, they take the King James Version at face value. Okay? I mean, like you said, we can't remember the meaning of every single Hebrew word. You know, there are times we have to sit down and look the word up. Okay? The reason is that this is how they make their nonsensical claim that blacks were a separate subhuman creation that survived the flood. No.
Outside the area
right.
that the flood occurred in.
That's
right.
Namely,
a global flood. It was an area contiguous to the Tarim Basin.
Well, the blacks were in Africa anyway. There may have been
different. Was rain. But it didn't wipe everything out on the planet. It wiped out all the abominations were going on by the Nephilim in the Tarim Basin. That was their scientific center.
Yeah. And so he says, if they were to use their usually beloved Strong's, they would be made to look ridiculous as if they needed Strong's for that. No, not at all. Because Strong's definition of Adam is clearly to show blood in the face. And blacks don't do that. Chinamen don't do that. American Indians don't do that, et cetera, et cetera. So he's the one who's got a problem with Strong's, not us. Okay? Now he's saying Bubba, the identity preacher.
Well, I mean, he's satirical here as if they needed Strong's for that.
Right, exactly.
In other words, we always look ridiculous?
No, no.
Really?
Yeah, for the most part. We're right on the money.
When we confront you and your misquoted facts,
right?
Looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and plus, you know, he's got a PhD at Harvard. When did the reverse of evolution occur? Right? When whites became blacks and Latinos?
He's a FUD.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he needs to change his name to Elmer.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Elmer FUD, PhD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elmer Fudd.
So he doesn't really understand our theology and our timing.
He doesn't want to.
No, of course not. Of course not.
This is deliberate.
Okay. He says he wants to dehumanize people that he does not like. Well, that maybe there are some like that, but we're basically following scripture and the literal meaning of the words. Adam means to show blood on the face. It doesn't mean black. Right. And then the Bible goes on to list all the other ethnic groups that we're not supposed to cohabit with. All right. And so what does he think about that? OK, there's hundreds of verses that declare that. And now then what if blacks descended from Adam and Eve? Then they've got to be hybrids. Right. You know,
they pre-existed. The beasts of the field were here for Adam to name.
Mm-hmm.
They were already in existence.
Yes. This has nothing to do with dehumanization. It means following Yahweh's law not to interbreed with non-Adamites. That's all it means.
Correct.
Okay.
Each species unto its species.
Now he's talking about some of the wilder old earth creationists might follow the same interpretation to promote their brand of evolution. Well, I mean, old earth creationists vary. Some of them do not believe that they do not believe in the global flood, and they don't believe that the earth was created in six literal days either. Okay? So now he's saying even they must contort logic in order to support their preposterous, unbiblical, and unscientific theories. No, I'm afraid this is the guy who's unbiblical and unscientific, because the Bible does not say the earth was created in 6 days. It says it was created in 6 yom, which means
right.
ages or eras, okay? And that conforms to science.
Yep.
Okay? So I don't know where he's getting his unbiblical and unscientific theories from, but we're making the Bible conform to real science, real biblical scholarship to real science. Okay, I'm not sure what the archaeologist's rationale would be. Now, I would have to say here, Pastor Steve, that the first archaeologists were mostly Christians, and they were trying to reconcile the archaeological record and the geological record with Scripture, okay? And Genesis chapter 1 does not deviate from the archaeological or geological records if you define the words correctly, like yom meaning age, not a 24-hour day. All right? So we're the ones that are being consistent here, not him. Okay? So he apparently believes that the earth was created, the world or the universe, was created in 6 literal days. But Genesis 1, I forget which verse, it was only until the 4th day that the sun and the moon appeared. So if you didn't have a sun and a moon for the first 3 days, what kind of days are those? Are those 24-hour days?
Oh, or are those three periods,
yeah, three
of
ages.
Time.
That's right.
That's all that means.
That's all it means. That's correct.
Boy, okay. This guy is arrogant. You ought to read the comments here, folks. Okay.
All right.
The preceding is part of a series of examples of KJV verses that arrogant would-be scholars have tried to correct and show themselves to be fooled.
Yeah, right.
These examples are for the benefit of those who would like, pardon me, more ammunition to defend God's word against the attacks of the arrogant Bible-correcting modernists. I hope that some of you find them useful.
Well, he has not clarified anything. He has just thrown more mud into the water, right?
Well, okay. He sure hasn't done his research
That's
at
right.
all.
That's right.
And he sure has not listened to any of my shows or read any of my corrections that I've done.
Right.
Because
right.
I back up all my corrections with the Hebrew and Strong's numbers so people can look them up for themselves.
Yeah.
The chapter notes on my translations are oft times longer than the actual chapter because I delve into the word study. This guy is a moron.
Right.
I don't care what letters he's got behind right. his name.
Right.
He is full of it. And but, I'm calling BS on this guy.
Right, yeah. He's obviously a KJV-only guy, right? And so if you quoted the scriptures to him, he would ignore it. He'd say it's not relevant. The scriptures,
sure.
Well, aren't they correcting the errors of the KJV, right? And he says anybody who tries to correct the so-called errors of the KJV is a moron.
Well, where I'm from in southern Kentucky, if you question the KJV, they would shoot you. And I'm not joking. I'm serious. They
right.
would kill you. They would shoot you in the parking lot. Right out in front of God and everybody,
okay.
and everybody leave. Right. You'd be laying in the parking lot. Nobody'd call the cops. Oh, I guess somebody shot him.
The Bible-believing Christians.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they're serious about that.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, he says if they really believe this is a serious criticism, that is, of the KJV, they need to throw away. We haven't even scratched the surface of the criticism that we could level against his global flood, the earth was created in 6 literal days theory. They need to throw away their Hebrew and Greek dictionaries and buy a good English one. They
Published
might start
by a Jew.
Yeah, right. Okay, so if all you have is the English definitions of words, most of which are very modern and don't reflect the original meaning of the Hebrew and Greek, then they might understand the Bible? I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah, having only an English dictionary would be a serious flaw. And even there, you know that the meanings of words change. Like a tisket, a tasket, a green and yellow basket, right? A casket used to be a small box on your dresser. Today, it only means the sarcophagus that you put dead bodies into.
Right.
Okay, so the meanings of words change, and he ought to know that. Okay. What we do in identity is we try to restore both the Old and New Testaments to the original meanings of the words as used when these texts were written. And you cannot go by modern definitions of words. You have to go to the original definitions of the words. Okay. So let's go into...
That's too much like work.
Yeah, right. That's right. And in any case... There's tons of Bible scholars who will say that the KJV has thousands of errors, up to 40,000 errors, most of them being insignificant, but we really came across some significant ones in our earlier study with Professor Truth, and here in this, the Joshua 24. But let's go into Genesis. Well, let's talk about the flood. Let's go into Genesis. I'm sorry, I'm still in Joshua. Genesis chapter 6, okay? And it came to pass when men, now it's Adam. Now, here the definition, the Strong's definition is incorrect. Ruddy, it gives the correct adjectival form, ruddy, Adam. That is a human being, which he means all races. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that's not what the word ruddy means. David was fair and ruddy. That means his skin was white and he blushed. That's what it means. It doesn't mean he was a human being, right?
Right.
Okay? So, it's talking exclusively about Go ahead.
Let me open up and look at chapter 6 here.
Mm-hmm.
In the correct...
Yeah.
Chapter 6, verse 1. And I'll read the English, and then I will read the Hebrew.
Okay.
And it was when the atoms...
Okay. Not human beings.
Began to increase upon the face of the soil that daughters were born to them. Okay, in the Hebrew... Wayahi, it was,
mm-hmm.
when, that is key, K-I-Y, began Hekel, the atoms, Ha-Adam,
mm-hmm.
La-Rob,
Adamites,
to increase,
mm-hmm.
Al upon 5921 Panay the face
the part
Ha Adama the red soil Ubanos that's daughters Uledo 3205 that's were born Lachem to them.
Mm-hmm.
Wayahi ki hekel adam la rod al pneh adama ubanoth yuledu lachem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the way I would translate this, I would just change one word. And it came to pass when Adam kind began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them. Adam kind as opposed to humankind. Or humans, or humanity, or anything like that.
Right. The, okay. The Adams is number 121, not capitalized.
Okay, right. So we're talking about the species of those that's who right. blush in the face. Okay. Genesis 6:2, the sons of God. Okay, this construction here, the sons of God, is often referred to as the Nephilim.
Right.
Okay.
That saw 7200, the fallen sons of the Elohim.
This is in the scriptures. It says fallen. Correct?
Why yireu b'nei ha-Elohim et b'not ha-Adam ki toboth chena v'yikheu lahem nashim mikol asher bakaru.
Mm-hmm.
The fallen is implied. It is not direct.
Okay. Okay. Now here, again, here are the Strong's fudges, the meaning of fair. Because if you look at the word fair, and among us Adamites, the word fair, especially when applied to women, meant that they had very light skin, that they weren't tan. And most of the time, women did not work outside, and they didn't get dark, deep tans like the men did. Okay. And the very first entry in my English dictionary for fair is to have light skin. Okay.
Well, the word here is toboth.
Okay.
Good or pleasing or good to look at.
Uh-huh. Okay.
2896. And fair means attractive.
Okay.
In the old English.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's because they were white. Right? Just as my dictionary says.
And it describes King David as ruddy and fair.
Right. That's right.
He was ruddy of complexion and fair. In other words, good to look at.
Right.
He was handsome.
Right.
He was a handsome man.
Now, and then it says, and they took them wives. I think wives might be inaccurate because I don't think these white women did this voluntarily. All right. And the female. Okay.
The word is nashim, number 802. Females. Women, okay.
So it should just say, took them women. It should just say women,
that's
not wives.
That's what it says.
Okay.
Took of them women from any that they chose.
Okay, so wives is a construction.
Vayikheku lachem nashim mikol asher bakaru. They took of them, lachem, women, nashim, of all mikol that a share
right
they chose bacharu.
Okay, so wife is a an interpretation.
That's right.
Okay,
that's correct.
They should have just left it women. They took
it
them
is
women.
Ish and isha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Male and female. Ish, yeah. Male. Isha. Female.
Yeah, yeah. And it's in the original definition here, I've got the Strong's, it says a woman.
And the wedding, they had a little party, and they had something to eat. They didn't have a preacher. They didn't have a priest.
Right.
They didn't have a marriage license.
But I don't think these Nephilim even did that.
They went into the tent and consummated.
Right.
And that constituted
our people did.
The marriage.
Right, right. All right.
The consummation was the marriage. That
so these, the KJV is obviously taking license here, interpreting women to be wives. That's obviously a stretch, okay?
Because they wanted to promote marriage by the church, which was required a fee or a license.
Okay.
You
right.
have to understand.
Mm-hmm. The license.
Their motives behind all of this. It's
right.
all about control.
Yeah, King James authorized the King James Version for control.
It is about control of people and their thought processes.
There you go.
Reshape the truth to their own agenda.
Right.
What appears to be the truth. That's right. The whole process.
Yes. Okay. Now, verse 3, which is somewhat confusing to people. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with Adam kind, for that he, of course, it says man. And the King James translates Adam and Ish and Enosh and many other words, many other Hebrew words as man. Even though those Hebrew words have completely different meanings. So this is another mistake that the KJV makes by generalizing 5, 6, 7, 8 different words that have different meanings and translating all them as man. Where here it's H120, which means Adam to show blood in the face. So we're still only talking about Adam kind here. But the way they translate it to man or mankind, it makes you believe that it's all different races when it's not saying that at all. Okay. And then, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, what is this? Is this saying that the lifespan will be shortened, you know, because Methuselah lived nearly 1,000 years, to that of 120 years, because this is, we're approaching Noah's flood here, when we know the atmosphere changed. So this is a, is this a literal prediction that the lifespans will be shortened?
All right. Now, let me go into this, and okay, you guys listen. When the flood came, the rakia that was around the earth was broken. Yahweh broke it, and all this ice that surrounded the planet, there was a globe of ice which filtered the sunlight, and the harmful rays could not get through. We lived a lot longer. When that was broken, the full rays of the sun came down, and our lifespans began to shorten at that point.
Yes. So the earth was watered by a mist before.
The earth was watered by a mist.
Right. And because it was more of a hothouse.
And when the rakia was broken, all that water melted and came down, and the fountains of the earth broke open, and huge rivers flooded the Tarim Basin, where all this genetic experimentation was. Now, that's why they say it will be as in the days of Noah, when Yahweh's wrath will come. We are in the days of Noah again. They're genetically modifying everything. They're spraying and poisoning the soil, the water, and the land.
So they given the genealogy,
doing all the things that the Nephilim did back then, and Yahweh's going to have enough of it. And the grace period's going to end at 2 Thessalonians verses 6 through 10 of chapter 1. It's going to occur. Right. The mighty messengers are going to come back and kill them all.
Right. Revelation says that too. Right.
We get to help.
Okay. So this looks like it's a literal prophecy that the some people refer to it as a canopy, ice crystals surrounding the planet, which created a greenhouse effect. So a limited amount of sunlight would come through, but if you've ever been in a greenhouse on a hot day, you can tell it's a lot hotter inside that greenhouse than it is outside, okay?
That's correct.
So this was the hothouse effect, and the air was much denser, it was more humid, and it was
more
a lot
oxygen.
Cleaner, more oxygen, And so that is why
everything
they had those lifespans.
Changed.
Yes,
everything
and all this was changed. When the deluge occurred. All right. Now, 6:4, there were giants in the earth. Now,
that's Nephilim.
Now, there you go. Nephel. Okay. Probably, a feller.
From Nephal, which means to fall.
Okay. And
Nephilim means the fallen ones.
Right. That's right, okay? So there were Nephilim in the earth. Now, why translate this as giant? Giant, again, it sounds like a preferential translation. Strong says here...
That's their agenda.
It says properly a feller, as a tree feller or a faller. I think faller would probably be better. That is a bully or a tyrant. And then the last entry is giant. So it does the properly is feller, okay? Those who fell.
No, it's not. It's
I know,
fallen
it's,
ones.
It's
Nephilim.
Right.
Nephilim.
They've even got that wrong.
That is a plurality of
the fallen ones. Right.
It is an adjective used to describe those people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They were fallen ones, the Nephilim, those who have fallen.
Yes, yes. Now it says here, and also after that, when the sons, let's look at that, what's the sons here, Ben, the sons of God came in. So this is a repetition of the sons of God in Genesis 6, 2.
And okay. In the book of Job, the sons of Elohim is a metaphorical usage for the messengers, the divine beings.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that were here were fathers of the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So this translation
was a second generation.
Yes. So this translation from the King James is this very vague. It's no wonder people have difficulty with Genesis chapter 6. Let me read verse 4 from the KJV, and maybe you can read it from the scriptures. There were giants, it says again, on the earth, and bullies is probably the best. But we know that we're talking about the fallen ones, okay? The sons of the fallen ones is what these giants are, okay?
Yes.
And also after that, when the Ben Elohim, the sons of God, came into the daughters of Adam kind, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which is Gibor.
Uh-huh.
Not Adam kind, Gibor, the Giborim, warriors, tyrants, okay, which were yes. Of old. How old?
How are you going to fight somebody that's 18 feet tall?
Right.
With a sword to match.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You get a sling and a stone, and you put one right between his eyes and crush that skull in on the brain and kill him.
Yes.
But
yes.
It knocked Goliath, not Goliath, Goliath down, and Dawid rushed up and grabbed his sword and mm-hmm. cut his head off. That's right. What killed him.
Right.
It knocked him senseless, and then he beheaded him.
Right. Yes. So we're of old. One of the words here is olam, which means properly concealed, that is the vanishing point, generally time out of mind, that is practically eternity. In other words, this is really, really long ago that nobody even remembers this time anymore. So we don't know when the fallen ones actually came down because we understand.
They were outside in this dimension. They were outside of the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
The
yes.
only one that
on
could
earth.
Go between the realms was Hashatan, the Nachash.
Right. Yeah.
He was the only one with enough power because he was the head high muckety muck of the fallen
right.
ones.
So what Genesis 6:4 is saying, this was so long ago that nobody remembers how long ago this was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stories of antiquity, that's correct.
Great antiquity even then. So in other words, what they're telling us is that these creatures were on the earth before anybody can remember, even before Adam and Eve.
Yep.
Okay. This is what verse...
The Captain Witness has David used the sling as a stealth weapon. He says, I love the sling. It's underrated.
Yeah.
You get a great big steel ball bearing, one of those inchers.
Right.
About 1 inch across, and you sling and hit somebody, or a big lead ball and hit somebody in the head, they're dead. It'll kill
yes.
them. It's like a rifle right. shot.
Right. Now, it's interesting here. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, the word men here comes from H376-ish.
That's ish. That's males.
Right. Now, it doesn't say Adam here. It says
ish.
Now, if you read the KJV, you'll get all confused. You'll be confusing Adam with Ish, with Enosh, with all these other words when they're different words. Okay? So I think I'm going to write this Harvard professor and explain
to
him.
Well, you read my translation.
Okay.
I have the words. Each word is correct, and I have the Strong's number with it.
Okay. All right. I'll copy your translation of Genesis 6 and send it to him and say, please refute this, okay, with the true meanings of the words. Verse 5, and God, okay, where's it coming from? H to Jehovah. Now, wait a minute. Why is it Yahweh? Jehovah is a, we talked about this earlier with Professor Truth.
It's Adonai with the vowel points.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, it's Yahweh with the vowel points of Adonai underneath it.
Right.
And it come out Yehoweh.
It's a Talmudic construction, not biblical
That's
at
correct.
All. Okay.
That's
so
correct.
It should say Yahweh here.
That's
but
right.
It says God. God is usually translated from Elohim. All right. So it's actually Yahweh.
Elohim.
I wonder, I've never noticed this. I wonder if this is in my printed KJV as well. This is, I'm quoting from Esword, folks. All right. And Yahweh saw that the wickedness of Adam kind, man, that's different from Ish, different from Enosh, okay, was great. And so he's bemoaning the fact that the white race had become corrupt. That's
what it has today.
As it is today. It shall be as in the days of Noah. Right?
What did I say?
Right? There Verse 6.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Right? Snare.
I love to get hold of an article like this and absolutely rip this guy up one side and down the other.
Well, please do.
Well,
please
you know, I think we have just done that.
Yeah, right, right. Verbally.
We've made him out with these word definitions and quotes to be an absolute idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He has a pseudo-education.
That's right. Well, a Judeo-education. Right.
He is a faker.
Yes. Now, okay, in verse 7, we've only got 3 minutes left, so we can't do this justice. But then Yahweh says, I'm going to destroy Adam kind, not humankind, but Adam kind. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Okay? So why do they translate it God in one instance and Yahweh in the other? I don't understand. Anyway, these are the generations of Noah and Toledah. What does Toledah mean, Pastor Steve?
That's actually the line of descent.
The line of descent, okay. Mm-hmm. And Noah was a just man and perfect, okay, so
generation. In his line of descent.
That's right.
He was unadulterated Adamite from Ha-Adam.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The one that was to replace the fallen ones as having dominion over this realm on this planet. Okay. And that's why they have hated him and tried to destroy him.
Right. Us. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now,
well,
are you
we're
saying
his progeny? We're his seed line.
Are you saying that Shem, Japheth, and Ham were white Adam kind, and not the three different races that the Jews claim this
That's
verse means?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So he's following
Shem,
Jewish
which
theology.
Means the name those are the Shemitic people, and Israel is from Shem.
That's right. We're Shemites.
We are Shemitic people. We are of Shem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Ham became the Mitzrayim, who were white.
Mm-hmm.
And Japheth went north. He was white, but then they both eventually bred outside their race. Now, the Mitzrayim would kill any blacks or non-whites.
Yeah, of course they would.
They came into the country. They didn't even want them as slaves.
Yes. Okay. I think they tried that. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, so, we've got about a minute and a half or a little less.
Well, brother, one more sentence here, because the word Eretz is in verse 11. The earth, earth also was corrupt before God, and earth and the earth was filled with violence. Okay, earth is Eretz.
Or land, Eretz. Yeah.
Not
Havel
planet.
Havel is the earth.
Okay, the planet.
Eretz is the land. The,
yeah.
The land surrounding that area.
Right. And that the Adamites inhabited.
Got to go.
The area that the Adamites inhabited is the proper meaning of Eretz in this context. Okay, folks?
Right.
So, the KJV has got lots of problems, and all these KJV-only people really need to wake up. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Yes, it's a cult. There you go. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
May Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom
Amen.
Aleichem.
Shalom.